Well, good day and welcome again to some more verse-by-verse Bible teaching. My name is Matthew Monona, and along with my wife, Victoria, we're the owners and operators of the Wash and Word. That's the hand car wash business in Church Hill, Tennessee on Highway 11W. You can find us in the Powell Shopping Center. And while you're there, we invite you to turn to 107.1 FM anywhere in the parking lot, 24 hours a day, 7 days a week. And you can hear verse-by-verse Bible teaching being played all day, every day. And we do this because we believe that the Word of God, the whole Word of God, should be broadcast all the time. And this world has enough churches, but doesn't have enough of the Word of God. And we can't possibly get enough of the Word out into this culture and this society that we live in today. So that's why we created the Wash and Word, so that we can deliver verse-by-verse Bible teaching. I want to invite you to come to the Abundant Life Fellowship at 415 Old Union Road. I preach there at Sunday nights at 6 p.m. So if you like verse-by-verse Bible teachings, come on out to Abundant Life at 415 Old Union Road, Sundays at 6. And if you have any questions or you want to hear old messages, go to washandword.com. All the information about our business and about our ministry is at washandword.com. That's wash, the letter N, word.com. Let's get back into our teaching. We're in chapter 14 of 1 Corinthians. Paul's talking about the spiritual gifts. And we left off talking about, he's comparing in verses 1 through 5, the gift of tongues and the gift of prophecy. Now, I said comparing, not contrasting. But that's kind of what we're doing here as we're going through this study. There are six things in those five verses that Paul, these are just facts. These are things that Paul just states. Again, it isn't that one gift is greater than the other, even though Paul did say to desire the greater gifts, and then elsewhere he said that one should desire prophecy over anything else. And then this is where I give you a quick recap of our last message. Again, if you want to hear the whole thing, go to washandword.com, click on the media tab, and you can download and listen to all of our messages for free. But he goes back and talks about the gift of prophecy, and why is it so important? Well, again, all of the Old Testament prophecies did one of two things. Either pointed to Christ's coming, or they prophesied to God's people for repentance. And today, prophecy kind of works in the same way. It's either pointing to the second coming of Christ, or prophecy is the knowledge, bringing forth the knowledge of God's word for the same sake and benefit of people coming and or returning back to God. And so of the six facts we looked at, four of them yesterday, and that was, number one, a word spoken in tongues is spoken to God, not people. That was in verse 2. Tongues are not used to preach the gospel, but they are used to bring praise to God, also in verse 2. And in verse 3, we saw that a word spoken in prophecy speaks to people, not God. So there was the biggest difference there, that tongues speaks to God, not really to people, whereas prophecy speaks to people, not to God. And the reason I can say that with confidence is because Paul says the purpose of prophecy is to bring strength, encouragement, and comfort. God doesn't need those things. We do. And so that's what the third thing was. And the fourth thing is that tongues edifies oneself, while prophecy edifies the church. And we saw that in verse 4. That was as clear and cut and dry as I just said it. And so the fifth fact about tongues and prophecy is this. Speaking in tongues is real. It is spiritual, and it is also endorsed by the great apostle Paul. This we see in verse 5. He says, I would like every one of you to speak in tongues, but I would rather have you prophesy. See, we spoke about this in a few messages ago about the controversy that tongues has brought into the body of Christ. And rightfully so. It's one of those gifts that is very polarizing, because if you speak in tongues and you regularly exercise your spiritual language of tongues, then you are very adamant about your belief in tongues. You're adamant about the purpose of tongues, the edification of tongues. You're adamant about the gifting of tongues, and so you're going to stand strong in favor of speaking in tongues. But there is a large percentage of Christians and denominations who either don't believe in tongues or have never spoken in them. Thus, they don't understand it, and so they either dismiss it, or they disregard it, or they criticize it. And again, when we don't understand something, that's often what we do, isn't it? But I'm here to tell you, because and through God's Word, speaking in tongues is real, it's spiritual, and Paul himself not only did it, but he endorsed it. So this goes out to all of you detractors who dismiss or deny the legitimacy of tongues. Now, I've got to go and continue addressing this by saying it has gone in recent years past into a full swing of hyper-charismatic speaking of tongues. What I mean by that is it has, by some churches and people and denominations, been just plain carried too far. Okay? And that's why this that's why this whole chapter is talking about orderly worship. Because Paul knew how fast a corporate body of believers can become disorderly, especially when gifts and prophecy are being displayed in the church. And so this is never a question of, are these gifts legitimate? It's a matter of, they're definitely legitimate. They're definitely alive. They're real. But they have to be done decently in order. And the hyper-charismatic movement put a bad name to a lot of these gifts of miracles and healings and of speaking in tongues and speaking in prophecy and words of knowledge. Again, all real, all important, all of them spiritual. But they were carried too far. And just like any other gift or any other religion or denomination or, you know, any other anything, really, a few people can give an entire organization a bad name. And this is kind of what happened with this, the gifting of tongues and the Pentecostal movement and the hyper-charismatic movement. It gave a black mark on what Paul says is a legitimate spiritual gift. All right, so we've got to find a happy medium somewhere. If you don't speak in tongues, don't look down upon those who do. And those of you who speak in tongues, you're not greater than those who don't. You're not more spiritual. You're not baptized by the Holy Spirit greater than somebody else. That is a evidence of the baptism of the Holy Spirit. It's not the only one. Now, what some of you might be wondering, do I speak in tongues? I have. And I know it's real because I've done it. And I have used it in my personal life. But that's where it stops for me. I don't use it out in the public area. I don't pray in tongues out loud for other people. It's just something I feel that the Lord has led for me to do. But again, it's a legitimate gift. Let's look at it the way Paul did. So the last thing I want to look at in regards to tongues, I don't want to say versus prophecy, but we'll call it tongues and prophecy, is this. Prophecy is greater than tongues. Don't shoot the messenger. I'm just reading what Paul said in verse 5. He said, he who prophesies is greater than he who speaks in tongues. But I want to carry that thought a little more. Tongues with an interpretation is greater than prophecy. How about that? He said, what do you mean? Well, that's what Paul says. He says, unless someone interprets the tongues, prophecy is a greater gift. This is very interesting because, again, when I said in our last statement that Paul himself endorsed the very real and spiritual gift of tongues, that's a pretty good endorsement. Saying that prophecy is greater than tongues, but tongues with an interpretation is greater than prophecy. And so if we look at these six statements, all biblical, because I just took them right out of verses 2 through 5, we could just end our discussion on tongues and prophecy right then and there. But the next six verses deals with the same subject, And they are also directed mainly to the church of Corinthians for that time. So let's go through that quickly. Look at verses 6 through 12. Paul says, "Now, brothers, if I come to you and speak in tongues, what good will I be to you unless I bring you some revelation or knowledge or prophecy or word of instruction? Even in the case of lifeless things that don't make sounds, such as the flute or the harp, how will anyone know what the tune is being played unless there is a distinction in the notes? Again, if the trumpet does not sound a clear call, who will get ready for battle? And so it is with you. Unless you speak intelligible words with your tongue, how will anyone know what you are saying? You will just be speaking into the air. Undoubtedly, there are all sorts of languages in the world, yet none of them is without meaning. If then I do not grasp the meaning of what someone is saying, I am a foreigner to the speaker, and he is a foreigner to me. And so it is with you. Since you are eager to have the spiritual gifts, try to excel in the gifts that build up the church." And then that's the end, but that's a mic drop ending right there. Paul could say, boom, and just drop the mic. All that build up, and he ends it saying, "Since you are eager to have spiritual gifts, try to excel in the ones that build up the church." And so Paul himself, he takes his own self. He uses himself to convey a hypothetical example where he, in the beginning of that, in verse 6 and 7, he says, "If I come to you speaking in these words, but I have no interpretation, what good is it? I've spoken nothing to you. I've edified nothing for you." And then he uses the musical instruments as an example, saying that, you know, if these don't have a distinction in notes, they're not even an instrument. It's just a resounding gong, if you will. And so Paul then uses an example of foreign languages. Now, I mentioned this briefly in the beginning of this teaching, that some people define the gift of tongues as nothing more than the supernatural ability to be able to speak a foreign language. For instance, I don't know French, but if God were to endow me with a spiritual gift and then I needed to speak French to somebody, God could give me the ability to speak French. Is that what the gift of tongues is? No. Okay, can God do that? Of course he can do that. I've never seen it happen. But tongues is a spiritual gift that is of a language unknown to the world. It is something that God has given for the believer to edify one's own self. And should there be an interpreter present, then that gift of tongues, that word spoken in tongues, becomes almost, if not more valuable than even the gift of clear spoken prophecy. And so again, those who claim that the New Testament definition of the spiritual gift of tongues is merely speaking in a different language, and I know why people say that, because in the book of Acts, when it happened, it said that everyone heard the apostles speaking in their own native tongue. So there's a good possibility that they all did speak a common foreign language at that time. But that is not the definition of the spiritual gift of tongues as we read about it, taking it all as a whole in the New Testament. And again, it has been recorded before of someone speaking a foreign language that they did not know. That is part of it. It's just not it exclusively. Listen, all of life is spiritual. There is a spiritual realm taking place out there. And I don't like satanic movies, but I've seen enough of them or seen enough previews or whatever to know that in those kind of movies they speak a tongue like a backwards language, and the demons understand that, or the demons speak a backwards language. So the misconstruing of language certainly has a spiritual aspect and a spiritual implication, and this is what Paul and what I've been trying to do over the last few messages is kind of clear up some debate over these few things. Well, I hope that has cleared some stuff up. Join me again next time as we pick this up where we left off. Also, again, don't forget to come out on Sunday nights at 6 p.m. to Abundant Life Fellowship, 415 Old Union Road in Churchill. Come by the Wash and Word. Let us know you're hearing these messages. And remember, while you're there, 24 hours a day, 7 days a week, 107.1 FM, verse by verse Bible teaching. Have a blessed day.